This is the Growing Up Rock Podcast with your host, Stephen Michael, and Sunny Hollywood Pooney. Now, crank it up.
All right there, grown-up rock listeners. We got a special bonus episode here for you today. We are covering the Monsters of Rock Cruise pre-party. So we're going to do a whole recap bonus episode on just the two pre-parties that took place before the actual Monsters of Rock Cruise. So before we actually set sail on the Monsters of Rock Cruise, they have two nights of pre-parties in Miami at Magic City Casino. It's open to all the cruisers. You get in free, and then they open it up to the public, and the public can pay, I think, $25 or $30 to get into the shows. And it's a pretty cool little bonus to get you ready for the actual cruise. So night one consisted of Raven, Cold Sweat, Madam X, and Lillian Axe. Night two consisted of Roxanne, Richie Kotzen, Great White, and Y&T. If the artist performs at the pre-party and they're also on the cruise, then their show at the pre-party counts as one of their two performances on the cruise. So in the case that relates to Rich Kotzen, Raven, Y&T, and Cold Sweat, because everyone else wasn't a part of the actual cruise. So for those artists, the one show at the pre-party counts as one of their two performances, meaning that they only perform one more time on the cruise ship. Myself, my wife Jen, Sunny, Steve Wright, and BC from the Potter Than Hell podcast, and their friend Chris Granza all rented an Airbnb in Fort Lauderdale because that was where the boat was sailing from. So we flew into Fort Lauderdale, flew out of Fort Lauderdale, and that's where the boat sailed from. So we drove down to Miami each night, which was roughly about a 60-minute ride to Magic City for the pre-parties. What you're going to hear in this recap episode is all of us sitting around a mic on the ship on day three while we were in Belize and recording our thoughts on the pre-parties. So you'll hear all the live things that are going on, including music and announcements being piped in over the ship PA. It's not my idea of perfect audio, but it's fun and it makes you feel like you were there. We will record a complete cruise recap once we return and release that shortly after you hear this bonus on the pre-parties. We had a great time. We got a lot of information to share with you guys. It's going to be a fun recap episode. So until then, enjoy this bonus. See ya.
Mandelbaum, Mandelbaum, Mandelbaum.
All right, great.
All right. That's our rally cry.
Yeah, that's the rally cry for the Monsters of Rock Cruise 2020. So we're sitting around live in what they call the schooner bar of the Independence of the Seas. We are currently in day three of our Monsters of Rock Cruise. So we're going to talk to you guys about the two pre-parties and the first couple of days, and tell you what we saw, what we liked, what we didn't like before we go into the final days. So,
very good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Getting everybody ashore as quickly as possible. The last 10 tickets, the next 10
that's
tickets
all
are calling
time.
Is 22, 23, so and 24.
All live all the time.
The next numbers are 22, 23, and 24. Please make your way down to the
we better hurry this up because I'm 26.
Located by the dining
room. I'm 25. Numbers.
22, 23, 24. Fresh
because I was going to be on the from 1:30 to 1:20 today.
Right.
What time is it?
So as you heard, we're in Belize, but we're not getting off the ship because they got shows going all day long, and we don't feel like we need to get off to go to Belize. So there you go. We're staying on the ship.
Anyway, so let's talk about the pre-parties first. Pre-party day one was Cold Sweat, Raven. What
Lillian
else?
Lillian
Axe, and what? No, one more.
Madam X.
Madam X. So for us, me and Jen, we showed up a little bit late to that. We missed Cold. No, we saw Cold Sweat.
We missed Raven.
We
missed Raven, yeah.
And we saw part of Cold Sweat. I enjoyed Cold Sweat quite a bit. How about you, Jen?
They won the night for me.
Huh?
They won the night for me.
The best ones
them.
Of the night. You guys want to tell us how Raven was? Steve, how was Raven for you? We missed them.
Raven was loud. They were so freaking loud. They were good, though. I'm not a huge Raven guy, but it was the first time I saw those guys, and very energetic on stage, and I forgot how high the singer's voice could get. I was like, holy shit, that guy could sing really high. They were good, like high energy. They tore it up. It was, like I said, it was really loud, but I definitely enjoyed it.
Yeah. How about you, Chris?
I liked it. It's the first time I ever saw them. Unfortunately, I only knew one song. But, you know, it is what it was, what I expected it to be.
Yeah.
You know, high energy, but it was loud. It was definitely a little too loud for that.
BC, I agree with these guys. I mean, it was a good show. I wasn't too familiar with their songs they played, but overall, it was good.
They actually played a new song from their upcoming album that was really good. I forget the name of it, and our buddy Jim Polkowski is a huge Raven fan. He would have went out of his mind seeing the show.
Yeah.
I mean, they were good. Like, I didn't know what to expect from them. I've never seen them live, and I'm glad I got to see them.
Yeah, I'm going to try to catch a little bit of their set on the boat, because they play one more time on the boat. I missed them completely, and it's a band I've wanted to see but just missed a couple times. Sonny was late to the whole thing. He was flying in late, so he missed them as well. Madam X. So I watched about 5 minutes of Madam X. Just not my personal thing. I didn't dig it, so I had to move on and go spend some time just talking to people. How about you, Chris? What was your perception?
I really didn't see too much of them.
That's when
you guys came and we went to eat. So I heard them, but it wasn't really nothing that I don't feel like I missed anything not seeing them.
Yeah. BC?
No, it's like going down to a local pub in your neighborhood and seeing a cover band playing. I got that feel from it. I was not impressed at all.
Steve-O.
Yeah, pretty much the same. And like I said, I only heard what they did from behind the stage when we were eating. So I really, one way or another, I couldn't say.
Hollywood made it in time for Madam X. Hollywood, did you have a thought on Madam X?
They're not the worst band I've seen in the last 4 days.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They're not even in the bottom three.
Really?
Wow.
What you going to do about it,
Here
BC?
Here we go.
You know something to say about it?
Oh, shit.
We're going to have to put BC back in his four-point harness.
Spit it out.
All right. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. It sounds like we've got some controversy coming up in one of these days.
We're going to be rumbling.
This table's made of glass.
I will say Madam X did Your High in High School good.
Yeah. All right.
It's the only song I knew when I went. And
that was okay.
You knew a Madam X song?
Just because of the video back in the day.
Wow.
Yeah.
And for those that don't know, Madam X was originally a band that Sebastian Bach was in Canada. And I think both Roxy and her sister are in the band, right? So Roxy Petrucci,
yes.
Is that how you say it?
Vixen.
From Vixen is the drummer, and her sister is the guitar player.
Right.
I don't know. What's her sister's name? She had super long hair.
Shelly? No.
She had super long hair, but not as
for
nice
the purposes
as
of this podcast, Shelly had super long hair.
Don't hate me because I'm beautiful.
Hate me because I'm an asshole.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just what wasn't really my thing. Jen, did you say what you thought of them?
Take them or leave them. What I saw was okay, but okay.
Yeah. So then Lillian Axe closed out the night. Lillian Axe, for me, they were about what I saw in March in Rocklanta. I liked some of their stuff. I don't love it all. And it's just kind of, it's meh for me. I don't know any other way to put it. You know, I don't hate them. I don't love them. Chris?
Same.
Yeah.
I don't know much about them. I really don't. It's just never one of the bands that I ever really latched onto.
Yeah, I like the MTV stuff, like Dream of a Lifetime and Misery Loves Company, a couple other songs, but that was basically it for me. How about you, BC?
I really like them. I mean, I've been a Lil Nas X fan since back in 88 when they first came out, 87, 88. So overall, I liked it. I mean,
yeah, good performance for
you. Good performance, and that's the first time I got to see him live, actually, so.
That's cool.
I enjoyed it.
All right, and they're not on the ship, so that was our only chance to see Lil Nas X. Jen?
I thought the performance was fine. I don't think they're my cup of tea, but...
Well, let's be honest, nothing is your cup of tea, really.
All right, that's fine. They're no Matchbox.
But how are you her
they're
cup
no
of
match,
tea?
But they're no Matchbox 20. But
who
I'm
is?
I'm acquired taste.
Rob Thomas is going to be the new singer.
Then I might be really interested.
Steve-O.
I enjoy them. I've been a fan of them, like BC, from pretty much when they came out. And I totally forgot how much Steve Blaze was a part of their background vocals and their harmonies.
He writes everything.
And I totally forgot that he is like that background vocal sound for those guys. And my only thing with them is they played too many like mellow songs. I wish they played some more rockers. They kind of was like a big lull in the middle of the set, I think, that kind of like put a little kibosh on the middle of the show. But it was good though. I enjoyed them. I'm glad that I could tick them off the list of bands that I never thought that I'd get to see that I actually got to see.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Hollywood.
They rocked it. I thought they rocked it. I don't really know the songs much. Never seen them before, but they were good. But the funniest thing that happened, and I think Mr. Right might have been maybe in his fifth or sixth beer, because they came out and started with a Love Gun riff.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Did what?
Yeah.
12 bars maybe. Yeah, right? Yeah. And then went into their first song and Wright stands up, "Psych, bitches! Psych!" Like somebody was listening. I'm like, who are you yelling at?
Anybody that wanted to listen.
Psych, bitches! You ain't getting no Love Gun.
The crowd was like into it. Holy shit, they're gonna play a Kiss song. And then it was like, they broke it. So I was like, fuck!
Gentlemen, so that is it. The tendering.
All right, tenders are done, people.
And tender tickets are no longer required. Any of our guests.
Sweet. Now we can just get off. We don't need no tendering
before the
lights
get off right here.
We're totally.
Oh, keep it classy. It's a family show.
Stay classy, Santiago.
On the midship, that's all the way down on the gangway. Those tenders are waiting to take you ashore. Please be reminded
gangway.
The time difference is 1 hour time difference.
Gangway, why?
Everybody stay on ship's time today.
Shit's
time. That
is. Shit's time.
You said everybody's a shit time.
Every 20 minutes is shit's time for Chris.
What's funny to me is there's a lot of reminders happening, but 35% of the people on the ship are on the ship. The other 65%
are already gone.
Enjoy yourself.
They're hosed.
But if you're here, you don't care what time it is.
Right.
All right.
On vacation, there's no time.
All right. So for me, the highlight was Cold Sweat. I like the Cold Sweat album pretty decently, but I thought that those songs came across even better live. I thought it was heavier. The singer to me was awesome. I thought he did a fantastic job. It was just a good set. I enjoyed Cold Sweat a lot. They were definitely the best band that I saw. And having missed Raven, I can't speak to them, but as far as the rest of the bands, Lil Nas X and Madam X, I definitely like Cold Sweat best. Granzo, what did you think of Cold Sweat?
I really enjoyed them. I didn't know too much about them until I heard that they were coming on the ship. So I did a little research on it. And I know, give me the look. They were very good. Singer was right on. I'm a fan of Keel, so I like Mark Ferrari. So yep. I enjoyed it. They won the night for me.
Yeah, okay.
How about you?
See,
I agree. They won the night for me, but I've been a fan of Cold Sweat since their album came out back in 1990. And another band I never thought I would see live, and they did not disappoint. And I'm going to kill the last guy's name, Rory, or his vocalist. Yeah. He sounds very good.
But God bless you. I'm happy to say that we're fulfilling BC's dreams on this Monsters of Rock cruise, giving him bands that he never thought he'd see live. I mean, there's a little bit of a tear in my eye, and A little bit of a heart palpitation. That's probably the bacon I ate this morning. But
why do I only have rage in my eyes?
Because we can't ever find
him. He was angry that day, my friend.
Because he's like Mikey from the Life commercial. He hates everything.
I hate everything.
An old man returning soup in a deli?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means.
Jen, for
don't
you,
get in his way.
What you said already that Cold Sweat was the band of the night.
They were the band of the night. I definitely thought the energy was incredible. I thought they just had the best vibe with the crowd. I mean, the crowd was totally into their set more than anybody's, I think. And, you know, after the Ferrari episode, you guys did the interview. You know, I just was kind of interested to see him. And I liked him. They were fantastic.
Yeah, we should mention all the background music that's coming to you courtesy of this recording. They pipe this through the ship the entire cruise, so you get all this different 80s rock and stuff like that going on throughout the hallways and in your room, and they're playing videos and everything's going on. So that's what you're hearing as we record this live. Steve-O, what was your thoughts on Cold Sweat?
I say we pause to listen to Lizzie Borden while they're playing them.
I say you keep talking because of it.
Don't make me separate you guys.
Ship security.
Cold Sweat was fantastic, and they're a band that I had the CD when it came out, and Mark Ferrari was the selling point on that band for me, because, you know, you read your Hit Parader or your Cream or whatever, and you see, you know, the band Cold Sweat's coming out, and you see Mark Ferrari's name, you gotta pick it up if you're a Keel fan. But I don't even know the other guitar player's name. That guy absolutely tore it up on lead guitar. And vocalist Rory, he was great. Sounds exactly like he sounded on the album. Lost no steps vocally. The band was great. Energetic performance. Mark Ferrari was a little less energetic than the rest of the band. But yeah, it was a fantastic performance. It was great. I mean, the singer was... You could tell that guy was just so happy to be playing with these guys again. And it was great. I think we could probably all agree that they were the highlight of the first pre-party.
Absolutely. Yeah. Enough to the point where Sonny came late, he missed them as well, but I suggested to him, because I think it's a vocalist that Sonny will enjoy
to catch them on the boat, for sure.
They're playing Studio B, they are on the ship, so they'll play one more show, because when bands play the pre-party and then they're also on the boat, the pre-party show counts as one of their two shows that they play. So that was pretty much it for the first pre-party night. I mean, we had a good time. We caught up with people, saw a lot of people that we knew from last cruise, and just, you know, it was fun. It was good night out. It was a free night out, except for, obviously, the alcohol that went along with it, but... we made our way down. We were staying at an Airbnb in Fort Lauderdale, which is where the ship was departing from. So we had to drive an hour to the pre-party. And, you know, it's all right. It's a good time. We had good conversation and stuff. So that brings us to pre-party 2. Pre-party 2 was the one that I think we all really wanted to see, which was Y&T headlining. You had Great White. You had Roxanne, and you had Richie Kotzen. So those were the lineups for that second night. And Roxanne was a band that a lot of people aren't familiar with, because they put out one album, I think, in the 80s, and then recently released this Radio Silence record. And I love them. I discovered them on the Radio Silence record. It's the first time I discovered, and I think it was awesome. I think they were definitely performing just to a T. That sounded great to me. Steve, what do you think?
Who are we talking about first?
Roxanne.
Roxanne?
You don't have to leave.
No.
You don't have to. Red light?
No, I won't. I'm good.
You don't have to. Red light?
No, I won't. No. Actually, they're a band that I'm kind of like Steve, and I was aware of them, and then they put a new album out. BC is a big fan of these guys. And I kind of like busted his ass because like I like about half of the
new
album.
Can you explain that comment, please, since we're sharing the room?
What?
Busting his ass. Literally?
What does that mean?
He pulls my pants down and he gets a baseball bat.
Oh, my goodness.
want to see the Black Blues?
Are you busting or not? While you're busting his ass?
Yeah, I should add that on this cruise,
I got nothing.
Not anymore.
I got nothing.
We took a hard turn.
On this cruise, Sonny BC, Chris Granza, and Steve Ryder all sharing a room, and myself and Jen, of course, have our own room. So that's the setup for this traveling pack of animals.
Yeah,
continue.
Yeah. Rage in the Cage, notwithstanding, that's what our room is called. I was aware of these guys, and I knew BC was a fan. I like maybe half the album, like I said. I thought they were fantastic live. I thought they were, there were like two songs that I kind of didn't care for, but the overall set was great, and I give credit where it's due. They surprised me. They really did. I had no idea what to expect. I didn't expect them to suck, but I didn't expect them to enjoy them as much as I did. I thought they were really good.
Yeah. How about you, Granza?
I liked them. I never heard of them before they were announced on the boat, and I enjoyed it. High energy show. Good tunes.
BC?
Again, another band off the list that I never thought I'd get to see, because I've been following these guys since 1988 with their debut album. So to see these guys live was like a dream come true. So I loved it.
Yeah. Jen?
I would second it about great performance and not necessarily somebody I would have sought out, anybody that would have been on my radar otherwise, but excellent show.
That sounded awesome. Sonny?
I think they sounded great. There's not very many bands BC and I agree on, but Cry Wolf and Roxanne are two of them. We started tailgating in the parking lot. We forgot about that.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Steven's sippy cup had kicked in by then.
He is rocking.
30 seconds later.
Yeah, 30 seconds later. Yeah, one sip. Yeah, how you doing?
Hey.
Like the light. This guy's right.
Yeah. How you guys doing?
I love that vocalist tone. His tone of his voice, it's engaging. I thought they were great. I thought Superbad came out great. I thought, we'll just call it track number 6 came out great.
Yeah. And you know what? They it's were a band, bad. Actually, that I wish was on the boat that we could see them.
Yeah, because we didn't see George or Doug with them.
No.
And my middle daughter would say that the guitarist was a little extra, right? A little too much flashy with the face and the guitar moves. A little Brad Gillis on steroids. A little
See,
bit.
I like that, though.
Yeah. I like that. He was a little extra.
He was a showman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When it does a showman.
Like, when one's way off the beaten path, the other three are not quite that, that's very odd.
But I really dig that attitude. I enjoyed that attitude. I thought one of the things that stood out for me is their record is very background vocal heavy, very harmony laden vocals. And to me, they were able to pull all that off live. I thought it sounded great. You know, I didn't hear any like really just crappy notes or anything hit. They sounded really, really good to me. All right, so that brings us to Richie Kotzen was up next. I was looking forward to Kotzen. I think he's an amazing musician. I've said it before. I think he's as good, if not better, of a singer than he is a guitar player, and that's saying something. For me, Kotzen in this particular setting, in this lineup, was a little boring to me. Like I said, I love him as a musician. I love him as a singer, but it was just, you never know what you're going to get or what he's going to play, because he has such a wide variety of stuff, blues and all this kind of different feelings of stuff, and it was just a little bit slow, and I wanted more up-tempo stuff, so I was a little bit bored at times, just me personally. Chris?
Yeah, I was a little bit bored with it after a few minutes, but the guy's super talented. You know, he definitely can sing and he definitely can play. It's just I'm not familiar with all the material, so it was kind of like just, you know, watching a movie.
Richie, BC,
I dug it. I mean, it wasn't what I expected.
Yeah,
with the flow of the night, but like I said, he can do almost everything. But he's definitely a musician there, and I enjoyed what I heard.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody can deny that the dude ridiculously talented. His band is ridiculously talented. He's not going to play with slouches. Those guys are ace musicians. But it was just, in the context of what the night was, I thought it was a little bit of a, just didn't fit for me personally. Jen?
I would agree with that. If he was doing the Java Jam this morning and you're hearing all of that playing and the intricacy of everything that they're doing, I think you appreciate it that much more. Or in a lounge setting where you're really focused on it, I think that's a whole nother ball of wax. But yeah, that's just a balls out rock night, and so I agree, it kind of felt like an interlude that just didn't work.
Yeah,
sucked a little energy out of the night.
Yeah, Steve-o.
As incredible as this may sound, I actually agree with you, Stephen.
Mm-hmm. What a surprise.
That does not happen often.
Oh, my God. There's a hole in the atmosphere.
The first couple songs he played were, like, rocking. And I've said it on our podcast many times that he just absolutely tears it up. And I still find it amazing that he does not use a guitar pick. But some of the mellower stuff brought it down a little bit. But I mean, he's talented. I got to give him that. And, you know, I know he's a man crush for Sonny. But enjoyable, but kind of a little off the beaten path of what the rest of the night was.
Sonny,
tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, tell us how you really feel.
So he only did one new song, did Venom, which isn't even, I don't even think it's on the new 50 for 50 album. I think it was only released as a single. Everything else was old stuff. He's creating art. And if you're not into Cotton and you don't know the music, you can't appreciate it. It was an amazing set. They sounded amazing. He sang it amazing. And I will tell you that when the crowd was singing Stan along with him, that I would say that was a special moment in the night. Because people still dig that song. And he wrote it, so it's his song. So he can do whatever the hell he wants with it. But I thought he did great. I will tell you honestly, it was not the best of the night just because of the four that we had.
Well, I think he sings that better than Bret Michaels does.
Oh, dude, everybody sings it better than Bret Michaels does.
Well, that is true.
Bret Michaels, want to be on our show? Anyway, not. But I thought he did great. For what he is, if you know who he is, that was a great song.
Right. Yeah. He's kind of a niche kind of thing.
That's
though.
What he is. Yeah. And then, honestly, it's his own fault. Even this new album, like, for the normal listener, and this is just an honest opinion, you'll like maybe 15 out of 50 songs. Mm-hmm. I like all 50, but I've gotten used to who Richie is, and I know there's different flavors of Richie.
Right, and the thing is,
but he's asking a lot of the fair weather.
Is the average fan going to put the time into it to check all them songs out? I would not.
So I will piece
I would ask
12
you,
or 15.
Which song should I listen to? That's what I would. That's
yeah,
what
and
I
he's got a ridiculous amount of music that I love. In fact, Sonny did the exact same thing for me. He sent me 20, 25 tracks of stuff that he knew I would like, and I do. I love it.
And I got 400 songs I could have sent him, but
yeah.
Just,
I hear you.
Yeah. So
370 would have been with the waste.
Yeah. So then we move on to Great White. So let me just say this. This is the first opportunity, it may be all of our first opportunity to see Great White with Mitch Malloy. Is that accurate or not?
For me, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's actually the first time that I ever heard him sing a Great White song.
Right. I think we've all seen Great White before, but this is the first opportunity we got to see Mitch Malloy with Great White. I used to be a really big Great White fan. I got into Great White on the first album, and the first album, if you go that far back with Great White, the first album was raw and was a heavy metal record.
That and the EP.
Yeah, it was much different than what Great White is today. They've become this blues band. So they changed a lot for me, and it's not that big of a... I don't really love them anymore. I like a lot of the music, but they're sort of... I don't know, a little bit slower paced for me and not as exciting for me. But Mitch Malloy as their singer, and I don't particularly think that his voice is bad. I think his voice is good. It's like somebody inserted David Lee Roth into Great White, which is just like, I don't know. His hair's flowing, and at times I found myself hypnotized by his hair and his teeth. And you know, he's
Jen, this is him coming out.
Here we go. Coming out episode.
Oh, boy. What you got him on this side?
Which, you know, I don't know what was going on. There's fans blowing, and his hips don't lie, and he's shaking it around like he's Shakira. I don't know what was happening.
Sparkly pants.
And I think
he was auditioning for the next Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'll be honest. But I'll say this. So this is going to sound contradictory, but Terry in Great White was a little slow and boring to me. Let me finish. I think Terry is a great singer. I think he sang great. And he was much better in Great White than originally I thought he was going to be, because I thought it was a mismatch from the get-go. But Mitch moves around and, to me, is much more entertaining. Now, that being said, it may not be entertaining in a good way. It may be borderline cheesy, which isn't necessarily a good thing.
Borderline
okay.
cheesy?
Yeah. All right, definitely it was super cheesy. All right, it was super cheesy. Jen's right.
That's so, a 10 on the so cheese meter.
That's my thought on that. I mean, it was just okay for me. It was myth for me. Granza.
I think they got the 80s poster child in the band after Terry left. He's got the look, he's got the sound, and
he's just bringing the girls, probably.
Right? And he's bringing a whole new following with women. And I actually thought he sounded really good. I didn't mind Terry in Great White either. You know, the record that they released, there's a lot of good songs on there. But Mitch he's all right. It wasn't bad. I kind of enjoyed it, but it's no Jack Russell Great White. You know what I mean? He didn't hurt the band by joining, in my opinion. You know, I think it's only going to make them better. It's easier on the eyes for the women, and I think that's they might be looking for that. And the fucker can sing.
You know what? I'd be interested to hear Great White with a singer that has tone and feel like a Kotzen, because I think that would fit in that band. Kotzen, you know, I'm not saying Kotzen himself. I'm saying the tone.
So we go to glam
tone.
Rock to the homeless dude?
No. Like,
what?
That's, you missed the point. I didn't say Kotzen
one
himself.
One is visual,
I said, I'm talking about that tone and feel, right? He has a very bluesy voice, but it's very soulful and feels, you know, just feels really...
you mean like Terry?
No, I don't think so. That's not right.
You just said
that's not right. You guys think so? I don't know. BC, what do you think about Great White?
I've been a Great White fan since Face the Day came out.
How was the performance for you, though?
That night? I to me personally, Mitch does not fit my vision of Great White. Is he good looking? Can he sing? Yes.
Are you coming out too?
Yes, I am.
You want to switch seats with me?
Come here, Steve.
Yeah.
But I guess, I don't know, I guess.
Listen, let's face it. Mitch Malloy, he's a damn good looking man. I can say that.
He is. He's slapping the hair around and all this shit. But to me, that's not Great White. Great White has always been a good, like, bluesy rock band.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see what they do if they release another record with him singing.
Yeah. Jen?
I thought they sounded great. I was totally distracted by the glitter pants. There's no doubt about it. The dancing, which I'm pretty sure Sonny will be videoing for a future episode clip.
Oh, no, that's a private video for you, baby. I love you.
Sonny's been doing the snake dance the whole cruise here.
It took away from it. I thought it almost came off like a parody. Definitely too much cheese factor. I couldn't quite get into the performance. They backed down on the Steel Panther. I think it'll be all right. Sounds good. They sound good.
Got a little cold sweat going on in the background now.
Love it.
All right, Steve-O, what about you and your love affair with Mitch Malloy and his teeth?
It goes way back. No. what I think happened was when Great White was with Terry for so long, I think that they wanted to find someone that was totally opposite of Terry. Singing wise, looks wise, and I think they just went a little too far in that direction. Because I mean, Mitch tried to be David Lee Roth, David Coverdale at the same time, and it is distracting. But the band themselves is fantastic. To hear Mark Kendall play those solos, like in House of Broken Love and Rock Me, like they're solos that you can't change. So if you could, you know, take your eyes away from the live Pantene commercial, and it's not bad. I didn't hate them, but I was more watching the band than him. I kind of just kind of put a blinder on towards him as much as you can. You at times you can't.
But
But
because he is distracting, but the band is still a chugging machine, and I really enjoy the music. And if I have to put up with Mitch's vocals, I will, because I really like them.
But truthfully, don't you think that might be the point in Mark's mind? I think that he might know that the rest of them are sort of boring, so why not throw somebody out there that distracts from the band? You know? I mean, that's one way I could think of looking about.
But you never went to see Great White for a dynamic show. They're a band that you've gone to because of the songs and the music.
Yeah, but maybe they've gotten...
You've never heard someone say, oh my God, they had the best stage show ever.
But maybe they've gotten enough feedback that says, you guys are just boring. I love the music, but you guys are just boring. You don't... I mean, fans will tell people that. Sonny, what do you think of that performance?
I will start by saying, Mark Kendall, I love you, always have. That show was embarrassing. That was the worst I've seen Great White. I've seen all incarnations. I can't watch Mitch Malloy on stage with Great White. I can't do it. He didn't sound bad, but I can't do it. And Mark, I don't know how to tell you this. That man is embarrassing. You got to get him off your stage. I'm sorry. I love Great White, but I can't watch him.
Sonny's PSA.
And apparently they're not coming on the show now.
Well, I said, Mark Kendall, I love you. Come. Mitch Malloy, you don't have to come. Stay where the fuck you are.
The Y&T.
All right. All right, so then we get to the closer of the night, Y&T. So Y&T closed out the evening's events. And for me, this is what I got out of Y&T's performance. I've always loved Y&T to begin with, but that show to close out the second pre-party, that was what encompasses Monsters of Rock for me, because it was myself, everybody that's around this mic right now, myself, Sonny, Jen, Granza, BC, Steve, we were all right there in front of the stage, and it was a group, it was almost like a group hug with Y&T. It was so much fun, so much energy. Y&T was what Y&T always is, which is dead on point. They played some great songs. Their set list was awesome. They played Blind Patriot, which I absolutely love. And
they're definitely not going to play that.
It was just a great set, and I had a great time with everybody. It was really, really fun. So that's all I'm going to say about it, is that if you're not familiar with that band or with some of the catalog, start seeking it out, because you'd be doing yourself a disservice if you're a rock fan. And, you know, just enough people aren't into this band, and it just, we say it so many times on this show, it's just crazy to me. Sonny.
Bronza, you better be careful with your comments, because I haven't punched anybody yet.
I need a seat change.
No, I thought they were amazing. Played Lucy, played How Long, played Lipstick and Leather, and the crowd was so into it. I love going to a Y&T show when they're in a club with 200 people that absolutely love them. I love seeing them when they're playing in front of 800 or 1,000 people and people love them. I like it that they don't really have fair weather fans. It's either you're in or you're out. You don't know them, they don't show up. And I really could care less, because it's much better when the community is there. But goddamn, do they sound great. That band is tight as hell right now.
Mm-hmm.
Bronza, yeah. Be careful.
I'm okay.
Speak your truth, Bronza.
I thought they were fantastic. This is the first time I saw them with the bass player. What's his name?
Aaron Lee. Aaron, I've told him your name 18 times.
I don't know why I can't remember.
Aaron, we love you. You're going to be on this interview. And Aaron, when you interview with us, you can say, fuck you, Chris Granza, for not remembering my name.
Don't lose my first name.
Who the fuck is Chris Granza?
Hey, I really enjoy Y&T every time I see them. You know, Dave Menichetti still sings great. His lead guitar is fantastic, too. I don't know the catalog as much as you guys do, but everything that they play every time I've seen them live is fantastic. They're just great. Great right. Band. Never disappoint. Yeah. Always.
BC.
Y&T.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
But, seriously, I mean, this is a band that, I mean, I think Sonny hit it. Either you're into it or you're not. I mean, and this band is just... There's a handful of bands in my book that I will buy... go see, buy their albums without even blinking an eye, and Y&T is in that group. is phenomenal, and they keep getting better, I think.
Absolutely.
And Dave Menichetti is such an underrated guitar player, I think. You never hear him brought up in guitar players, but he should be.
And a great singer as well.
And that too.
Jen.
Yeah, always a high point for me. I mean, they put on a great show. You can watch any of these guys, and they're performing. The music is awesome, and everyone's totally bought in. So, yeah.
No frills rock and roll. They're just a straight-ahead blues rock band. You know, there's no gimmicks, there's no craziness. It is what it is.
Yeah, you walk out feeling good.
Yep. Steve-O.
Yeah, there's really nothing that I could add to this conversation about Y&T that really hasn't been said. Just always a great band live. Love to see them. And and you are right, BC. It is a band that if they put something out, you're automatically getting it. And just amazing. Dave Menichetti, for as good a guitar player as he's that good of a singer as well. So, and if you're listening to this and you have not listened to Y&T, I don't know where you've been or whatever. And even if you say, they're okay, dig a little deeper and just check them out because they are absolutely amazing.
Buy a ticket and see them live. Yeah. Everything will change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Time check. We got 24 minutes before Shiraz Lane.
Yeah, so I'm thinking we just cut it at this point.
Yeah, 40 minutes of stuff.
Get ready to shuffle, rattle, and roll. Play us out, boys. Please make sure you subscribe to our podcast, Growing Up Rock, and leave us a review on iTunes. Give us a like and leave us a comment on Facebook at Growing Up Rock.